From the Lend to Grand Teton University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 13th day of May, 2025. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Naomi Bloom. She's at TotalFarmMarketing.com out of West Bend, Wisconsin. I'll bring you up to speed on current crop conditions across the Midwest with the state statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, and Indiana. We'll hear from Minnesota as well, and we'll try to discern what the real tariff rate is on corn and soybeans, as well as wheat going into China during the pause and after. And we'll also take a look at the weather forecast, too, on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July corn for the day settled at $4.42.5, 5.5 cents lower. New crop December at $4.41, down 4.5 cents. July beans at $10.72.5, up a penny and a quarter. And new crop November at $10.59.5, up 2. Bean meal $4.80 lower. The bean oil up $1.56. Wheat futures July soft red at $5.17.25, up 2 cents for the day. The hard red July at $5.11.75, up 3.75 cents. Live cattle futures off 50 cents. The feeder cattle 37.5 cents lower, and lean hogs finished $1.20 higher on this Tuesday. Naomi Bloom now joins us from TotalFarmMarketing.com. She's in West Bend, Wisconsin. Hi, Naomi. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, we had a couple of big things happening yesterday. Of course, we got the finalized news, relatively speaking, out of Switzerland that a deal had been cut of sorts, that is, with China. And yesterday afternoon, the USDA released the weekly crop progress reports. Can you tell me how each of those impacted the marketplace?
Yeah, so just getting that trade deal agreement for the 90-day pause on reciprocal tariffs really was just a welcomed news to the market. It gave the market a little bit of support on the overnight. That was really welcome because the market had been so oversold technically, and we were just in the dark about what was going to be happening there. So it allowed for the marketplace to have that pause, a little bit of a recovery bounce before the USDA report came out yesterday. But we didn't really see any news on it in terms of the tariffs, like we were going to see brand new buying from China. So at least it stopped the bleeding for the soybean market and really just gave it a little bit of a spring full of hope. Now, when looking at the crop progress ratings yesterday, we now have the corn crop that is 62% planted, so ahead of the five-year average. And that soybean crop is 48% planted, also a little bit higher than the five-year average as well. Now, when we got that news yesterday and last night, that weighed on the marketplace a little bit. Even though we had a pretty friendly USDA report from a WASDE report perspective, traders were more focused on the fact that the crop is going in the ground. It's not any major delay anywhere. There is potential for rain coming through later this week. Now, there's difference of opinions on how much rain is going to fall and where. But for the most part, we had mixed news. So welcome news on the tariff side of things. The fact that the planting pace is ahead of schedule is kind of weighing on the market. So we're in this little bit of a price lull. But we've got plenty of trade to go for the rest of this week. Lots of weather to be watching and looking for signs of new demand on the export front.
Are you done with the May WASDE at this point, or are you still thinking about some of those numbers, the smaller ending stocks, the export figures, particularly for corn, or are you just looking forward?
Well, at this point, the WASDE report, I would say, definitely viewed as welcome news, and what it said specifically regarding demand was supportive. We had stronger export demand and feed demand for corn for the new crop, and that's what was able to keep the new crop ending stocks below 2 billion bushels. So now it really goes into a weather market from here. And the soybean number, with that ending stocks well below expectations, coming in at 295 for the new crop, again, there's no room for any kind of a weather error there for soybeans either. There is zero weather premium baked into this market right now. So if there's any signs of dryness in the coming weeks or any big heat wave coming, the market is free to respond. Because like I said, there is absolutely no weather premium in this market at all right now. funds are probably pretty neutral on corn, and they're going to maybe wait to see what the weather unfolds here. You know, you think about the Dakotas, it's 100 degrees out there right now today, and maybe the end of the week, they're going to be in the upper 30s. So it's quite a temperature shift. And again, you know, some places are supposed to be getting rain, but they keep adjusting the forecast a little bit. So we'll see if the rainfall occurs or not. But it's definitely parched still in the western Midwest. They need the rain because, of course, that's where the planting has been so fast. So if the planting is fast, it's because there hasn't been any rain delays. So that's what we're going to be keeping an eye on here in the short term. Hopefully with this news of the tariff news being kind of on pause here, maybe we see China show up, because it's been dry in China too. And the fact that they imported wheat from Australia and Canada earlier this week tells me that their crop situation might be on the cusp of something serious because of how dry it is. So we'll want to be watching for that in the morning at the 8 o'clock hour when the USDA announces those individual big export sales if they show up.
You have been an advocate of watching the seasonal trends, which are up in May and June for corn and soybeans, generally speaking. I'm wondering how wheat will make that change, if it does at all, and whether or not yesterday's WASD shifted how aggressive you think producers might want to be in making new crop sales, and old crop for that matter, in that time frame.
Yeah, so that seasonal tendency is that new crop corn and beans have a tendency to make their summer price high between Mother's Day and Father's Day. So obviously Mother's Day has passed and we're on the low end of things. Market has been oversold. We aren't trading any weather premiums. So it makes me feel like the seasonality will occur and that we'll get that rally at some point here in late May to early June, and then that'll be the time to capitalize on new crop sales. Now, tomorrow is the last trading day for the May grain futures, and when looking at details of seasonal charts, it seems like once we get that last trading day for the May grains out of the way, then we can start to see front month July contracts come back to life here. So I'm really encouraged that we'll start to see the market, which is so oversold right now, start to kind of come back up for air for corn and beans. And with the wheat complex trading lower initially this morning but finished the day higher, there's a wheat tour going on in Kansas and there's been some disease found. And so that actually might take some of that bigger potential yield that they've had off the top. So we're going to be watching for signs of that in the Kansas wheat market, because the market had been trading that everything was hunky-dory because they had rains, but now this disease is starting to be out there, a virus. I can't remember specifically what it was called, but they are really finding it. It seems to be prolific and throughout a lot of the state. So keep an eye on that for the Kansas wheat.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right. Thank you.
That's Naomi Bloom. She is with TotalFarmMarketing.com. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It showed 62% of the corn crop around the nation has been planted. 56% is the rolling five-year average. 28% of that crop has emerged. 48% of the soybeans have been sown. That's ahead of the 37% five-year average, and 17% of the crop is up and growing. 53% of the winter wheat crop has headed, 45% is the five-year average, and it's said to be in 46% good and 8% excellent condition. Those numbers are both up from the 44 and 7 in the previous week and 42 and 8 in the previous year. Now, here are statisticians from some of the regions around the Midwest.
This is Rebecca Alter, agricultural statistician for the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office. A warm and dry week made for excellent planting conditions. Producers made quick progress planting corn and soybeans. Conditions were also favorable for spraying. Topsoil moisture condition rated 5% very short, 22% short, 70% adequate, and 3% surplus. Corn planted reached 76%, 8 days ahead of last year, and 3 days ahead of the five-year average. Corn emerged reached 30%. 4 days ahead of last year's pace, and 2 days ahead of normal. 64% of the expected soybean crop has been planted, 10 days ahead of last year, and 5 days ahead of the five-year average. Soybeans emerged reached 16%. nearly all of the oat crop has been planted, with 74% emerged. Reports of oats starting to head were received. Oat condition rated 85% good to excellent, up 6 percentage points from last week. 6% of the state's first cutting of alfalfa hay has been completed. The first hay rating of the year showed 84% in good to excellent condition. Pasture condition rated 64% good to excellent, up 4 percentage points from last week. Livestock were reported to be in good condition, with some cows and calves turned out on grass. And that's this week's report of crop progress and conditions across the state of Iowa. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Rebecca Alter.
Hello, everyone. This is Brad Summa, Director of the USDA NAS Heartland Region, and this is the Illinois Crop Progress and Condition Report. There were 4.8 days suitable for field work in the week ending May 11th. Topsoil moisture supply was rated at 3% very short, 16% short, 54% adequate, and 27% surplus. Corn planted has reached 54% compared to the five-year average of 60. Corn emerged has now reached 25% compared to the five-year average of 26. For soybeans, the planted has now reached 51% compared to the five-year average of 48. And the soybeans emerged has now reached 22% compared to the five-year average of 18. For the Illinois winter wheat crop, the winter wheat headed has reached 46% compared to the five-year average of 57, and the winter wheat condition was rated 1% very poor, 5% poor, 34% fair, 49% good, and 11% excellent. For our Illinois cattlemen, the pasture conditions were rated 1% very poor, 4% poor, 24% fair, 47% good, and 24% excellent. Again, this is Brad Summa, Director of the USDA NAS Heartland Region, serving the farmers and ranchers in Illinois. Have a great week, everyone.
I'm Nathaniel Warnsky with USDA NAS. This week, Indiana topsoil moisture rated 91% adequate to surplus for the week ending May 11th. Subsoil moisture rated 84% adequate to surplus. Days suitable for fieldwork were 4 days. Corn planted was 45%, close to the five-year average. Corn emerged was 19%, 5 percentage points ahead of last year and the five-year average. The soybean crop planted was 41%, 7 percentage points ahead of last year. Soybean emerged was slightly ahead of last year and the five-year average at 14%. Winter wheat jointed was 78%, 9 percentage points behind last year. Winter wheat headed was at 31%, 12 percentage points behind last year, but 5 percentage points ahead of the five-year average. The crop was rated 71% good to excellent. 1% of the first cutting of hay was complete. Pasture range conditions rated 73% good to excellent. And that's this week's report of crop progress and conditions across the state of Indiana. I am Nathaniel Warnsky for USDA NAS.
One other state to check in on, Minnesota, where unseasonably hot, dry weather yielded about 6.6 days suitable for field work last week. They did have 65% adequate topsoil moisture, and farmers there took advantage, making substantial planting progress. Corn planting was 75% complete in Minnesota, hitting that mark 6 days sooner than both last year and the five-year average. 30% of the 2025 corn crop had emerged, about 5 days ahead of average. Soybeans in Minnesota, 52% planted, 8 days ahead of the 2024 season, 6 days earlier than average. At 14%. Soybean emergence was about a week ahead of the five-year average there. Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across their regions in the Midwest. Let's see now if we can unwrap the weekend events that took place in Switzerland as they related to yesterday's World Agricultural Supply and Demand estimates and the 90-day pause between China and the United States as it relates to the trade war. We'll start with a story by Matt Kay, who's with the Burns Bureau out of Washington, D.C., and provided this information via the NAFB, the National Association of Farm Broadcasting. Reciprocal tariffs, he writes, are coming off, but ag tariffs are staying on, despite China's agreeing in Geneva to a 90-day pause in its tariff war with the U.S., The U.S. and China agreed to lower reciprocal tariffs by 115% while retaining an additional 10% tariff. Other U.S. industry-specific levies on metals, autos, and over fentanyl remain during the pause. And the fentanyl-linked duty means China's 10 or 15% levies on U.S. soybeans, corn, wheat, fruit, pork, and poultry will also remain in place. Here's Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent on CNBC.
We still have the 20% fentanyl tariffs that were put on in February.
The Trump administration now hopes to open China in a much broader deal as trade talks continue toward reducing America's almost $300 billion deficit with China. Trump plans to speak with China's President Xi Jinping at the end of the week. So how did the weekend events impact yesterday's USDA World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate? Well, Rod Bain at USDA has more from the chief economist there.
And already exciting, May USDA World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate became more so in the days leading up to it, even the day of, for that matter. Chief Economist Seth Meyer, with the reminder that May starts the new marketing year for crops and offers the first look at the 2026 livestock production forecast. But additional factors leading up to the May WASD included
prohibitively high tariffs on China, and we were still trading live animals with Mexico.
Meyer reminds us of the consideration caveat of policy in place the day of the WASD crafting and release. So within the hours leading up to the May WASD,
both we had a pretty drastic rollback in tariffs with China and also a prohibition on live animal trade with Mexico because of steers, feeder cattle, horses, etc., because of New World screwworm incidents in the country of Mexico and fears of an outbreak in the U.S.
resulting in a same-day readjustment of the WASD prior to its release. How did the changes appear within the May world supply and demand estimates? World Agricultural Outlook Board Chair Mark Jekodowski says regarding a commodity that is among China's top import products, soybeans.
Global soybean supply and use focus primarily on the new crop year because that's where all of the activity is and where most of the impacts of any tariff changes, trade policy changes would show up.
And in terms of beef production and supply forecast for the 2025 and 26 marketing years, as it applies to the latest ban of Mexican cattle imports due to New World screwworm concerns.
We're forecasting beef production in the U.S. for 2025 to be down by about 280 million pounds from what we were forecasting last month. And that reduction reflects those reduced supplies from Mexico, which more than offset the fact that carcass weights have been increasing. That would be down 1.28 billion pounds from 2025. So a pretty sharp tightening of U.S. beef supplies.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
So I know that probably did not clear up things. Let me see if I can walk us through it. Secretary of Treasury Scott Bessent says that the 20% fentanyl duty the U.S. placed on China remains in place, and therefore the countervailing duty China has imposed on U.S. corn, wheat, and soybean imports also remains in place. Those are 15% for corn and wheat and 10% for soybeans. That was in February. And then the president imposed a 125% tariff in April, and China countered with an equal 125%. It did not match any further increases that would have been to the 145. Yesterday, the president amended that 125% executive order so that it reflects a 34% tariff rate, instead of which 10% remains in place during the agreed-upon 90-day pause. And the EO appears to have simply removed the extra 20% tariff that had pushed the 125 to 145%. So clarifying, the current tariff rate on goods coming into the United States from China is 34% starting tomorrow, with the caveat that for the 90-day period, it will be just 10%. So we know at the end of 90 days, if no new agreements are reached, the U.S. will impose a 34% tariff on goods coming into the U.S. There's a different rate, FYI, for packages with values of less than $100, but we'll stick with the 34%. So during the pause, again, I believe, but have not confirmed, U.S. exports of corn and wheat will be subject to a 25% tariff and soybeans to a 20% tariff. This is the 10% baseline plus the fentanyl-based retaliatory duty. Those numbers, should no agreements be reached, should go up to 49% and 44% respectively if the 90-day pause expires without an agreement. The new 34% tariff rate, instead of the 125, plus the fentanyl 10% duty in the case of soybeans, equals 44% starting at the end of the 90-day pause. Trying to simplify, 10% for 90 days, 34% thereafter, plus the fentanyl duty is 44% for soybeans, 49% for corn and wheat. To be honest, I have no idea if those numbers are actually correct, but they look like they should be. I also do not know if those are the figures USDA used in yesterday's World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates report. Don Day is here with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to take a look at the forecast. Hi, Don. Thanks for being with us. Let's begin here in the United States. Can you work your way from the northwest to the southeast across the Corn Belt, please?
Well, first of all, for the northwest, there's rain in the forecast. Looks like a wet period of weather's coming to the Dakotas, especially the eastern side of both North and South Dakota, western Minnesota, northwest Iowa, a good part of north central and northeastern Nebraska. We'll see a couple of storm systems between now and the middle of next week that will bring some beneficial rains to those areas. Now, the heavier rain is not going to extend into the central or eastern Corn Belt. While there will be some shower and thunderstorm activity at times over the next week, it's those northwest areas, which have been pretty dry here lately, that are going to have the best chance of getting rained on.
And then looking to the eastern part of that, drier, but is there rainfall the further out we get, do you suppose?
Yeah, there's going to be some. We're going to see later in the forecast period. Now, this would be, let's say, after a week from today. So we got the 10 to 14 days. We'll see, especially the southern and eastern areas of the Corn Belt, have some shower and thunderstorm activity starting to increase, along with some temperature readings that are still going to be bouncing up and down a bit.
Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media, online, on demand at willag.org. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.